Chapter 2. 1869. Her dilemma in church. The two were silent in a sunless church, whose mildewed walls, uneven paving stones, and wasted carvings passed antique research, and nothing broke the clock's dull monotones. Leaning against a wormy poppy head, so wan and worn that he could scarcely stand, for he was soon to die, he softly said, "Tell me you love me," holding hard her hand. She would have given a world to breathe, as truly, so much his life seemed handing on her mind, and hence she lied, her heart persuaded truly 'twas worth her soul to be a moment kind. But the sad need thereof, his nearing death, so mocked humanity that she shamed to prize a world conditioned thus, or care for breath, where nature such dilemmas could devise. 1866. Revulsion, though I waste watches framing words, to fetter some spirit to mine, own in clasp and kiss, out of the night there looms a sense 'twere better to fail obtaining whom one fails to miss. For winning love we win the risk of losing, and losing love is as one's life were riven. It cuts like contumely and keen ill-using, to cede what was superfluously given. Let me then feel no more the fateful thrilling, that devastates the love-worn wooer's frame, the hot ado of fevered hopes, the chilling that agonizes disappointed aim. So may I live no junctive law fulfilling, and my heart's table bear no woman's name. 1866. She, to him I, when you shall see me in the toils of time, my lauded beauties carried off from me, my eyes no longer stars as in their prime, my name forgot of maiden fair and free, when in your being art concedes to mind, and judgment, though you scarce its process know, recalls the excellencies I once enshrined, and you are irked that they have withered so. Remembering that with me lies not the blame, that sportsman time, but rears his brood to kill, knowing me in my soul the very same one who would die to spare you touch of ill. Will you not grant to old affections claim the hand of friendship down life's sunless hill? 1866. She, to him too, perhaps, long hence, when I have passed away, some other's feature, accent, thought like mine, will carry you back to what I used to say, and bring some memory of your love's decline. Then you may pause a while and think, poor jade, and yield a sigh to me as ample due, not as the tittle of a debt unpaid to one who could resign her all to you, and thus reflecting, you will never see that your thin thought, in two small words conveyed, was no such fleeting phantom thought to me, but the whole life wherein my part was played, and you amid its fitful masquerade a thought as I in yours, but seem to be. 1866. She, to him three, I will be faithful to thee, I will, and death shall choose me with a wondering eye that he did not discern, and domicile one his by right ever since that last goodbye. I have no care for friends, or kin, or prime of manhood who deal gently with me here. Amid the happy people of my time who work their love's fulfillment, I appear numb as a vein that cankers on its point, true to the wind that kissed ere canker came, despised by souls of now, who would disjoint the mind from memory, and make life all aim. My old dexterities of hue quite gone, and nothing left for love to look upon. 1866. She, to him I thee, this love puts all humanity from me. I can but maledict her, pray her dead, forgiving love, and getting love of thee feeding a heart that else mine own had fed. How much I love I know not, life not known, save as some unit I would add love by. But this I know, my being is but thine own fused from its separateness by ecstasy. And thus I grasp thy amplitudes, of her ungrasped, though helped by thy regarding eyes. Canst thou then hate me as an envier who see unwrecked what I so dearly prize? Believe me, lost one, love is lovelier the more it shapes its moan in selfish wise. 1866. Ditty E50. G. Beneath a nap where flown nestlings play, within walls of weathered stone, far away from the files of formal houses, by the bough the firstling browses, lives a sweet. No merchants meet, no man barters, no man sells where she dwells. Upon that fabric fair ere is she, seems written everywhere unto me. But to friends and nodding neighbors, fellow whites in lot and labors, who descry the times as I, no such lucid legend tells where she dwells. Should I lapse to what I was ere we met, such cannot be, but because some forget let me feign it, none would notice that, where she I know by road is spread a strange and withering change, like a drying of the wells where she dwells. To feel I might have kissed loved as true otherwhere, nor mind have missed my life through. Had I never wandered near her, is a smart severe in the thought, that she is not, even as I, beyond the dells where she dwells. And devotion droops her glance to recall what bond servants of chance we are all. I but found her in that, going on my errant path unknowing, I did not outskirt the spot, that no spot on earth excels, where she dwells. 1870. The Sergeant's Song, 1803. When lawyers strive to heal a breach, and parsons practice what they preach, then little bony he'll pounce down, and march his men on London town. Rollicum roarum, toll ol orum, rollicum roarum, toll ole. When justices hold equal scales, and rogues are only found in jails, then little bony he'll pounce down, and march his men on London town. Rollicum roarum, and see, when rich men find their wealth a curse, and fill therewith the poor man's purse, then little bony he'll pounce down, and march his men on London town. Rollicum roarum, and see, when husbands with their wives agree, and maids won't wed from modesty, then little bony he'll pounce down, and march his men on London town. Rollicum roarum, toll toll orum, rollicum roarum, toll ole. 1878. Published in The Trumpet Major, 1880. Valenciennes, 1793, by Corporal Tullidge. See, The Trumpet Major in memory of S.C. Pensioner, died 184. We trenched, we trumpeted and drummed, and from our mortars tons of iron hummed athwart the ditch, the month we bombed the town of Valenciennes. 'Twas in the June 093 the Duke Oyark, our then commander, bin, the German Legion, guards, and we laid siege to Valenciennes. This was the first time in the war that French and English spilled each other's gore. Few dreamt how far would roll the roar begun at Valenciennes. 'Twas said that we'd no business there atop here in the French for disagreeing. However, that's not my affair, we were at Valenciennes. Such snocks and slats, since war began, never knew raw recruit or veteran. Stone deaf fearance went many a man who served at Valenciennes. Into the streets, athwart the sky, 100,000 balls and bombs were fleeing, and harmless townsfolk fell to die each hour at Valenciennes. And, sweet and why the bombardiers, a shell was sent to shards and iced my ears. 'Twas nigh the end of hopes and fears for me at Valenciennes. They bore my wounded frame to camp, and shut my gaping skull, and washed and clean, and gined NY a silver clamp. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.